Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another Koinonia Hour. And as you see, I have Marty Breeden back again. And I'm really glad that you're back because you and I talk constantly through the week. And I think there's so much stuff that you and I both share back and forth every day because so much stuff is happening. I mean, we could really actually do a daily pod if we really
could. You know, it's when I was first telling Georgia, my wife, about this. She's like, you and Joni really need to just do something with this. I said, yeah, we could call it. Well, that'll be afternoon, but we could call it Morning Musings with Joni and Marty, because we talk about a lot of things because it's hard to keep up with everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And there's wisdom in the counsel of many. And there's so many things happening right now. I know for a fact, Joni, that the watchmen of the Lord are being taxed right now to keep up with everything that's happening. You know, when we used to watch Hal Lindsey and Jack Van Impe and Hilton Sutton and some of these prophetic teachers, there'd be something that would happen maybe a few times a year that you could say, okay, that's really significant. Now it's almost hourly that things are happening, that it seems to be significant when it comes to, you know, Bible prophecy.
Yeah, I mean, we can't even keep up. I mean, every day we're talking and I'm like, you say good morning and maybe I'll say good morning. Sometimes we just bypass the whole good morning thing and we're like, Marty. And yeah, and it's not just things that we're seeing. I mean, we're moving in the spirit like a lot of people are right now because we're so close to the end of things. That the Holy Spirit is giving dreams, and I know you're going to be wanting to talk about that for a second, that we're barely able to keep up, but this is what it's all about, and things are changing because things are changing rapidly in terms of the way even messages are given out that are kind of standardized sermons,
right.
Worshiping and stuff, where we are a people that are the end people, and so... well, I don't want to keep going because I have you on for a reason, because you have some things that you want to share and I know I want to hear them. And so does everybody else. So I'm just going to go ahead and give you the floor.
Well, I'm just going to speak briefly on this and then I'm going to turn it back over to you. But one thing that I think is very pertinent is the apostasy that's taking place in these last days. Is it okay to go there?
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, I think, Joni, probably one of the most heart-wrenching scriptures in the Word of God is when Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? When I read that, there's a brokenheartedness to Christ when he said that. And as we look at the churches around us today, we see that so many churches have forsaken the foundational teachings that we were raised with according to scripture and according to the Word of God, where the church is vastly are moving away from those convicting, strong messages and even changing the verbiage of things that we grew up on, things that the Word of God talks about. And I want you to, I'm not going to talk right long now because I want you to get into it because I know you're very prepared in sharing, but there's been some things come to light recently that churches, especially one particular minister, he's taking a lot of backlash over this, somewhat backtracking right now, but with the refusal to use words like the blood, refusal to say things like the resurrection. And the reasons given are pretty pathetic. But I want to say this, and I'm going to give it back to you. These words are so vitally important to our faith and everything that we stand for. You know, let's take the word resurrection. If there was not a resurrection, then Jesus was just another man. If there was not a resurrection, and Christianity was just another religion among thousands. If there was not a resurrection, then the story of Jesus is just a great fairy tale. But there was a resurrection. It's important that we use that word resurrection because that resurrection proved that he was God in the flesh, both Lord and Christ. And the refusal of some ministers in some of these mega churches to use these words and use this verbiage, they may be afraid it offends people, but I can assure you, them not doing using those words offends God. Let me give it to you for now.
You know, when you talk about this certain pastor, you know, he has over 25,000 people in his congregation over, okay? And when you look at his church, you look at it, it's like, it just looks like a big megaplex of come one, come all kind of, and I'm not going to make any apologies here because I know that our audience, and I hate to call it an audience, I think most people that are listening are in agreement. Not that we need to be right. I'm just saying from my own experience, your experience, many people that are watching, We've been around for a long time. I mean, we are really the last of the Mohicans, if you will. Really, you know, I mean, I got saved during like a 1974.
Right.
You know, back in the day, most of us have, right? And so we have been really the last ones, just like Spurgeon was called the last of the Puritans. He really, really was. We are that last of, people would say that we are the Philadelphian age, right? And I do believe that there something happened, like after there was a big movement, Marty, in the 70s, as you know, if you, people you want to call it the Jesus movement or not, you can't deny the fact that there was a major movement. And since then, we've seen movements, but it was movements away from Christ,
yes,
not to Christ. Okay, now I know people trickle in all the time. People are getting saved individual, because I believe people, it's all an individual basis where people come in. But this North Carolina mega church, like you said, they refused to use the words Calvary resurrection or the phrase blood of Jesus to promote Easter Sunday services, and as well as Christmas, which they don't want to use other words. And his words, Marty, were, I'm not going to say the word Calvary. I'm not going to say the word resurrection. I'm not going to say the blood of Jesus. I'm not going to say any of these words that make someone feel an outsider, said, and I'll leave her name out. She's the digital content creator for this particular church. And they use something called Pro Church Tools. And a representative from Pro Church Tools sat down with this woman, who is the church's digital content director, saying that she's responsible for overseeing all the copy coming out of this church, the 25,000 member multi-site led by this pastor. So she sets the tone of church emails, blesses or nixes the language of social media posts, and develops guidelines for responding to the events in the news. I'm going to read one more thing and I'm going to turn it back over to you. And what I wrote, what I read is this: what is Pro Church Tools? Okay.
Right.
For church leaders who wear many hats, Pro Church Tools offers a variety of free tools and resources to help get all of your jobs done. It's a website that offers free tools, courses, podcasts, and other content for churches to gain new skills and be noticed by prospective members. With this tool, churches can discover different ways of engaging their congregation, especially the younger and more mobile generation. Tools help churches tell their stories with videos, interesting social media posts, email and promotions, and more. They leverage the power through these tools, through their endless resources, and help churches better communicate with their congregation and prospective audiences. Whatever your learning style, you'll find videos, audios, and written training material to help your church support its marketing efforts, so forth and so on. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Marketing efforts. Wow. Isn't that something? I was thinking yesterday, so many of these churches have become so woke and they offer all of this entertainment. And, you know, the church could never compete with the world. The world in Hollywood has incredible entertainment, but it seems like the church is constantly trying to keep up with the world. And we're not only losing in that race, but we're also losing souls. Because in most of these churches, the gospel is not being preached. If the blood of Christ is not being preached, Joni, how are we going to draw people to the cross? I thought about something as this morning. And as you said, and most people don't know this, we really don't have anything prepared for this program. We just decided to get on here and talk. We had an idea of where we were going to go. And we're doing right now what we do every morning. And so, but I did think about this right before we started. I thought, you know, I was raised in the Assemblies of God Church, but some of the earliest memories that I can recall is grabbing one of these old hymnals and singing songs that drew me to Christ. And I would see people break as the Lord would deal with them about the blood of Christ. And I thought about this, one of the first songs that I can recall ever hearing in church was a song called Nothing But the Blood. I think we all know that song, you know. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And there's more gospel in some of these hymns than is being preached behind pulpits today. You know, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's so much gospel. There's power in the blood at Calvary. All of these songs that drew men to the cross. And these songs are being left out. This verbiage is being left out. And that's why the church largely is so powerless today, because we've forgotten our message. When we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says that we overcome him, talking about the devil and the world. We overcome him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There is power in that blood. I've seen things happen. I want you to, you shared with me just a little bit. You didn't get into detail, but I want you to share. I want to hear this, that you had an encounter where the blood of Jesus showed his power, just mentioning that.
Yeah, like for instance, really quick, we saw what J.D. Farag's church, what happened. Yeah. He's just, you know, we saw like the last 1:48. And I'm going to bring that up really quick because, you know, obviously the enemy is always going to be where the gospel is being preached, because he is, you know, Jesus says he gives the foreground hearers parable, right? What is the foreground hearers? The ones that fell by the wayside, the crows represent Satan. He's quick to pluck that right out of them, lest what they understand their hearts, he takes it out, right? So you know he's always there to counter. He's always there. Just like when Jesus was on the earth, he was always, people like were demon possessed ran to meet him, right?
Yes.
But they were subject unto him. And it was interesting because when he was talking, but what we normally all talk about, like we're talking about this is soon, because the last part of his service is a prophecy update. So obviously he's talking about end time things. And he started to kind of bubble over a little bit. He was getting excited and then towards the last seconds, he starts talking about the rapture. Next thing you know, you hear this screaming. And at first he was like, you know, pretty much get her out of here. Like, because people can go off and go crazy from time to time. And that thing screams out, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, but it wouldn't say Jesus.
Right.
Next thing you know, it's calling him a liar. Let me tell you something. Yes. To me, that was the absolute most profound thing that could ever be said to come out of a demon's mouth, Marty, because, you know, there's so much. Oh, there's no such thing as a rapture. No such thing. It doesn't bother me if somebody doesn't believe it. I know you're like that too. We would want them to.
Yes.
But see, demons overplay their hand every time. They always let out more. So it's not so much like, oh, it was blood curdling, it was chilling. I was in the deliverance ministry for many years. It's something I never share with anybody. I didn't ever ask to be in it. It was something that came to me, and so that's what happened. So when I saw that, I understood that the speaking of that rapture and the screaming of that thing saying liar, liar, liar is a liar calling JD a liar about what he was saying is a lie. So that to me is a window into looking at the fact that that spirit was melting down. That means there's a meltdown going on and panic in Satan's kingdom. As we get nearer and nearer, does that make sense to you?
Yep, it absolutely does. And I want to interject something that you said to me several years ago. If you recall, Joni, I contacted you when this happened, and then I let others know. In my front yard, I literally saw a demon manifest in my front yard physically in my eyes. I saw this thing come out of nowhere. It was like it was interdimensional. Now, some people say, okay, that's just crazy talk. Call it what you will. I know what I saw, and I've seen it in the spirit world before. God allowed me to see this, but there was a demonic entity that manifested in my front yard. He was black. He was about 13, 15 feet tall, and it was inhuman. It was demonic, and he began to traverse across the yard. And when he got to my woods, it went into another dimension. And I contacted you. And I shared this, and I found out that a lot of other people had experienced something very similar. But you said something to me that was profound then. And I think it bears witness even now in that what you said was, you said, Marty, the closer we get to the return of the Lord, the veil between the worlds is going to be thinning. Do you remember saying that?
I do.
And listen, when you said that, ever since then, Joni, we have seen things like this begin to manifest and things begin to happen. And I submit and I agree with everything that you're saying. The closer we get to the return of the Lord, the more we're going to see demons manifest. And most pastors are not prepared to deal with such things. I've been in those meetings, as you have. I think you're going to share something in a moment. But you better know who you are in Christ when you run into a demon. Because that is, but I do think God gives you supernatural faith during those times to walk in the power of the Spirit that maybe you maybe not otherwise. It's like you've been called for such a time as this. The Spirit of the Lord rises up within you when you're dealing with someone like that. But you go ahead. I wanted to share that.
Okay, so this was, I don't know, like the mid-90s. And this was my first intro. I'm at home. A friend of mine, it's morning. It's like 10 o'clock in the morning. A girlfriend of mine's visiting. We're just having a nice talk. The phone rings. And there is a church I used to go to down the street, like literally 2 minutes away, if that even. And, but I remained friends with people in it and some of the staff. And there was one gentleman who was a missionary to Costa Rica for 15 years. He went down there as a, I think this is an important message to tell. I really want to share this. Okay. This is important.
Please.
I remember when I was going to that church at this time, I was going deeper and deeper into intercession. I was really going deeper. And this was by something God was drawing me into. And there was never anybody to talk to about it. They were like, oh, Joni, you're just being overly spiritual. But I knew it was from the Lord. And it was a lonely place. One day there's a man, guest speaker. He's speaking. His name was George. I'll leave his last name out. And somebody said to me, Joni, that's the man you're going to want to talk to. That guy was in, he's an intercessor. And so I was working at the church at that time. I was a receptionist. And I didn't talk to him that day because everybody was mobbing him. And I'm not that way. Like, I just, okay. And so I found out that he was, I'm going to leave it all the details now. I became friends with him. And we became, and I began to share things about how the Lord was using me. I was learning warfare, those kind of things, and dreams I was having into aiding my ability to see in the invisible, to know how to pray, because that's what dreams are for. And he said, I want to share something with you. Can you meet me in my office? And I went there that noon, and he said, let me explain something to you. He goes, I want to share something. He said, 15 years ago, the Lord called me and my wife to go to Costa Rica and to open up a little chapel there because they were worshipers. He said, so we go down there, we build a little chapel. We're teaching the indigenous people in the jungle how to worship the Lord, how to come to Christ. Definitely talking about the blood of the Lamb for sure. And so one day he said, we were practicing for the evening and a girl comes in and he said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, I can feel the Holy Spirit stop me. And he said, ask her what she wants. And he said, what do you want? And she fell on the ground and started wailing, screaming like that girl. And he said, the Lord said to him, get down there and cast that thing out of her. And he said, no, Lord. He said, I didn't come here to cast out evil spirits. He said, I came here to worship. And he said, get down there again. He doesn't ever answer us. He just said, get down there and cast it out. He said, Joni, I stood over that girl and I knew only what I knew how to say out of the word. I said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to come out of her. And she came out and that thing came out. News spread. He said, Joni, for 15 years, I documented 320 deliverances while I was there. And then one late afternoon, we were practicing. And a man comes in, sits in the front chair, and I looked at him and I felt that same feeling from 15 years ago. And the Lord said to me, don't have anything to do with him.
Oh, wow.
Don't have anything to do with him. And so he said to the man, is there something I can help you with? That's all. You know, he didn't have any. And this other voice came out of him and said, get out of my country.
Wow.
And he said, Joni, it was the most chilling. And you got to realize down in Costa Rica, that's heavy spiritism, witchcraft. So for 320 deliverances being documented, he was coming across, you can imagine, every kind of spirit, right? He said, but Joni, that one, since it was, I felt afraid, you know? And he said, if you do not leave my country, I will kill you. And he got up and walked out. That night, his wife became so violently ill that they had to put her in the back of a truck, go through the jungle at night, go to some nearby hospital. The doctor said, looking at her, we don't know what's wrong with her. All we know is we looked at her vocal cords, and if we do not remove her vocal cords, she's going to die. Remember, these are worshipers.
Right.
He's like, no, you're not touching her. We're people of faith, right? They put her back, and they take her back to the camp. He said that same night, pow, same thing happened to him. He said they wanted to do the same thing to him. He said, Joni, we are worshipers. And they wanted to, he said, and the doctor said, if you don't allow us to remove your vocal cords and the vocal cords of your wife, you are both going to die. And he said, Joni, we lay there dying. And we, with all our might, said, we got to get out. He said, Joni, I don't know how we did it, but we got someone to get us into a car. We got to the airport. We flew in, you know, to our area where we live. He said, the moment they landed and got off the plane, he said, they still felt weak, but they were whole.
Wow.
We have a voice.
Yes.
And we have the word. And you have to have good workability with the word. And this demonstration that we're giving to you with a sanitized cross and a bloodless cross, there's yes. no power. Okay. So I do want to share what happened to me. So should I keep, because I invited you on. I don't want to take up because I know you have.
No, you're fine.
Okay. So then he said to me, Joni, did that scare you? And I said, I mean, I didn't feel anything. I wasn't like, nah, that didn't scare me. It wasn't like that, Marty. I just went, no. I mean, I just wasn't scared. He goes, okay. Anyways, he goes, okay. We had more talking about it, you know. Well, about several days later, I get a phone call from him. I'm visiting my friend. He's like, and he's whispering, Marty. He's like, hey, Joni, what are you doing? I'm like, George, come down here. And right then, when he said, can you come down here right now? He said, come to the back door. I'll let you in. But when I open the door, come straight to my office. And I'm like, right then, because you know, when you're being filled up with the power, your heart starts to race.
Yes.
You don't know what's going to happen, but your heart starts going boom, 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 boom. And because your body can't handle that power. And so my friend and I, we get in the car, we drive down there. He's already waiting. He goes, get in here. So we go in. As we're walking in, Marty, when I stepped over that threshold, I felt the presence of both the powers of darkness and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not knowing what is happening. I see a young woman sitting in the corner. George goes and sits at his desk. She's a lovely, cute-looking blonde, but she's dressed like in some kind of cocktail dress at 10 o'clock in the morning. She's super short, plunging neckline, black high heels. I mean, you know, okay. And so I go in, and he said, Joni, this is, I'll just say Tammy. I'm making up a name. Joni, this is Tammy. And I said, nice to meet you, Tammy. And she wouldn't look at me. She kept going like this. And everything, you have to understand, because you already said it at the beginning. You said, when we don't plan anything, the Spirit comes right in. And he doesn't want you to know everything. He wants you to be able to move like that, where he can absolutely, you move with him. And so,
by sight.
Absolute. And so I sat down next to her and I said, hi, Tammy. My name is Joni. This is my friend so-and-so. I said, and everything, Marty, that I was asking her, it was like Jesus said, I don't speak of myself, but only those things which I hear do I speak. And I was literally, it was so high spiritually functioning that I hate to say it was awesome, but it was awesome. And the effect, it was awe, like I was in awe. It was like I was completely in charge of my faculties, my mind. I felt absolutely quickened, but it was not of me. I was just going through it. So I said, and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, ask her if she is saved. And I said, Tammy, I said, I have a question for you. I said, are you saved? Are you born again? And she looks away from me. She goes, I gave my life to God. And I go, okay. And I said, asked her a couple other questions. Then moves on because I could feel the power building and her legs woman's leg is crossed and she's bouncing the leg on top and she's going like this and she's moving. And I said, so, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, ask her again. I said, Tammy, I said, are you born again? And George says to me, Joni, she's born again. I asked her if she was born again. She came in to see me. I already asked her, she's born again. And I said, give me a second, George. I never spoke to George like that because I respect him. I respect him, you know? And I said, give me a minute, George. Like there was a command and he just kind of sat back. And I said, and she started looking away. I said, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, ask her if she has been involved in the occult. And I asked her, I said, have you been involved in the occult? No, I said, do you cut yourself? And she said, looked up and looked away. She says, yes, I cut myself. Then she admitted to being involved in tarot, psychic, so-and-so. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say, ask her again. And I said, are you born again? And George goes, Joni, come on. I just told you. And I said, George, I said, please, please. And I said, and I could feel the presence moving out in front of me. And I said, are you born again? And she said, I told you, I gave my life to God. And I said, and then the Holy Spirit said, the blood. And I said, have you bowed your knee to Jesus Christ and have your sins been washed by the blood of the Lamb? And right then the Holy Spirit told me to emphasize. So I started saying everything with the blood. I said, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you from all of your sins. Jesus Christ has broken that power of sin, death, and hell over you. It is the blood of the Lamb. And she takes her long hair, covers her eyes, and with a male voice coming out of her, points to me and says, we hate her.
Oh, my.
And she bolted out.
Wow.
Okay.
So much for being born again.
There was some learning there for me to understand. Yep. So I'll go ahead now because I've been talking long enough. So you probably have a lot of stuff that you want to.
No, that's an incredible story. And I've sat in on services. Like, thank you for sharing that. It is the blood of Christ. And I will tell people that when you are in an environment where demons manifest, and I have been there, you better know who you are in the Lord. Some people say, oh, I'd like to see something like that. No, you wouldn't. But the Lord will allow you to be in positions like that when you're ready. And you better make sure that you're spiritually preparing, because we could be seeing manifestations like we've never seen before. But it is the blood of Jesus. That's the line of demarcation. And they hate that blood because they know that the price was paid. On a different vein, because there's so many things that come to my mind when you were talking. I could have taken so many. And we'll save that for next week. But, you know, I hope people enjoy what we're doing, just trying to get on here and addressing particular issues. And we'll try to do this as often as we can. We're both busy. But, you know, one thing that I do want to bring up is I've had several people contact me this morning, and it reminded me I've probably had two or three visions my whole life. But several years ago, I had a vision. I put it on my Facebook, M.W. Breeden, where my friend and your friend, Michael Snyder, and his wife, Miranda, they both published it from several years ago. But I think we really need to be praying, especially this Sunday and subsequent Sundays, for the safety of our churches. I'm very concerned about some dreams that people have sent me about possible attacks coming to the churches. And we need to be praying for safety and asking the Lord to watch over, send his angels of protection. And I will say this discreetly. I think we need to be prepared ourselves logistically to protect the flock if we're called upon to do something like that. So just wanted to put that out there. But I've received from people that I think are credible people of the Lord, have had dreams, and it's very concerning. I've had two or three people this morning alone send me, three people, as a matter of fact, and none of these people know each other. So to me, when I get something like that, as you do as well, you think, okay, as I always say in police work, we call that a clue. So I think we need to be prepared for what may be coming and pray into that. Because, you know, someone asked me a question earlier, like, well, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe this won't happen, and maybe the dream I had wasn't from the Lord, this won't happen at all. I said, no, you can't see it that way. God gives warnings so you can pray into it to prevent it. So let's just continue to be an attitude of prayer about that. I don't have a lot more, Joni, to you can, other than my wife wanted to make sure that I showed everyone that I am man enough to have a Snoopy mug and be able to show everyone that what I've been drinking out of.
You know, we won't go much longer either. We like to keep things short these days because everybody's really busy these days. But we just want to emphasize, if you're in a church where they've eradicated the talk about the blood because they want to be seeker and user friendly, and they're using AI sermons, and they're trying to, you know, it's a day where everybody comes in. You need to get out of that church because,
yes,
you know what? Listen, the power is in the blood. You know, if Jesus overcame by the blood. You know, I condensed something here, okay? And this is a condensed version of not every scripture because it cannot do it, but I want to just blow through this, and I want you to hear it, okay?
Okay.
So obviously we know Jesus shed his blood on the cross. We know that that's the absolute pinnacle, the shedding of the blood. Without the shedding of the blood, there can be no remission of sins. And that would be, you know, Hebrews 9:22. Okay, so we have the New Testament made in his blood. The everlasting covenant has been made in his blood. We have been made one of one blood, all nations of men to dwell upon the face of the earth. We have been bought by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot or wrinkle. The church of God is purchased by his blood. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have peace through the blood of his cross. We are justified by his blood. We who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we pray, we have boldness now to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have communion of the cup of the New Testament made in his blood, and those who drink of it unworthily will be counted guilty. We have fellowship with one another by the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. Even in the final book we read in the first chapter, 1-5, unto him that loved us. And this is so powerful, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We see the four beasts and the 24 elders falling down before the throne, and they sing about the blood. It says they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The tribulation saints will wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And like you said, the tribulation saints will overcome the Antichrist by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their own testimony. And finally, we see the Son of God on that white horse with many crowns and a name on his thigh written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And upon him is a vesture, as it were, dipped in blood, you know, and that means he has conquered all the wickedness of all the nations because he goes forth to war. He is a man of war. He's coming again to judge and make war. He has a controversy. He's going to settle it. And so right now, one more last thing about the enemy. We have talked about the enemy today, not because we enjoy it, but because we need to understand as see what Satan is doing. As in Israel, it says in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, it says he in chapter 5, it says, for he has cast a deep sleep to come upon. Okay, so there's like a deep sleep. But I pray that these words you and I have spoken to everybody today, that it will sink down into their ears.
Yes.
And that they will be realizing that they can be nothing, that they cannot call yourself a Christian without the blood.
Amen.
You can't even enter into the holiest and pray, you know, and have that boldness. See, there's a boldness by that blood. And all those words I spoke about the blood, and it is all eyes on Christ now. It is all eyes on him. And I'm going to give you the last words, Marty, and you can let people know how to find you, where you're at, so they can get connected to you.
Well, thank you, Joni. It's been good being with you again. And I always enjoy spending time with you. You say we speak often. I was laughing telling my brother this morning. I said, Michael, you got to meet Joni sometimes. She's so cool. I said, she can quote the Old Testament like I can quote Schoolhouse Rock.
It's repetitiveness.
Best is on Facebook as MW Breeden. I have Telegram. Marty, the 2-minute warning. Also, my wife and I have started something new on Facebook called Almost Heaven, where we do songs and devotionals and we share news and things like that. So that's the best way to reach us. But thank you for what you've shared. Yeah, as you were talking, I thought, you know, the only way when we stand before the Lord that we are going to realize that our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life is because the blood of Jesus was applied to our heart. And, you know, as I sang earlier, impromptu song, nothing but the blood, oh, precious is the flow. And we have to have that blood without, as you so beautifully said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for our sins. So it's that vitally important. Let's end in prayer. I'll start and you finish. How's that?
Okay.
Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for our time together. God, I pray that you take the words that we've shared today, Lord, and that you use it to bless your people. Lord, if there are people listening that don't know you, I pray that that you use this message, Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit to draw them to the foot of the cross. God, I pray that you use this message and some of the things that we've shared, which some have been intense, God. But Lord, we pray that you will use our words to bring the lost home. God, I pray that you would use our words to bring backsliders home to you, Jesus. And God, I pray that you would use our words to encourage the saints. Lord, thank you for my sister Joni. Thank you what you've deposited within her and blessed her with great knowledge and understanding. And above all, you've given her wisdom. So Father, thank you for our time together. And we just ask you to bless the work that we're trying to do here. Father God, we know there's a sense in our heart that things are changing rapidly. God, there's a sense that knowing that something that seems off in our spirit. But Lord, we also know that as we see the world crumbling all around us, that your word says that when we begin to see these things, to lift up our head for our redemption draws nigh. And God, we humbly bow before you right now. And we proclaim that Jesus, you are Lord. And we know that you are coming soon. Thank you for hearing our prayer, Jesus. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives and for giving us insight and understanding, God, to be able to see what you're doing in the world today.
Praise the Lord. Lord, we exalt you. We lift up your name on high. Yes. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you have your people over the whole earth that know you, that yes. are called by your name, that are been purchased by the blood of the yes. Lamb. Amen. Lord, I pray that you strengthen all your people right now that are listening and that will be listening through the power of your blood and in your name. I pray that, Lord Jesus Christ, that you begin to move mightily, Lord God, like a powerful wind, Lord God, coming into the lives of everybody, Lord, that you would lift off that sleepiness and that slumber where it says, awake, O thou sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He shall shine upon you. Lord, let us be a people that are not naked when you return, but a people you are not ashamed of, a people, Lord God, that will look so different than everybody else in this world, no matter where we are, what we do for a living, or what we wear. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would become a transfigured people in our prayer time, and that you deepen your word, and that you pour out your spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, upon us. So in these final moments, everything we do, everywhere we go, every word that we speak will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord Jesus, that you make us mightier than our predecessors, though they were mightier than we could ever imagine. And that, Lord Jesus, that we will be a people, Lord God, that are waiting for the Lord. And we want to bring as many people with us. So teach us how to do that. Lead us in our private devotions and bless us that we may turn to you, for of you and through you and to you are all things. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And amen.
In Jesus' name. Okay, well, I guess this is where we say goodbye to everybody for now. And stay on the line so we could talk afterwards. And thank you again, Marty.
Thank you. Thank you so much.